Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Loud and Local with Kevin Deers rolls on 99.9 KISW.
It's Loud and Local, the Stay Home Sessions podcast here with, I'm talking with Steve Bostic, a.k.a. Nuck, from a band called The Scoffs. We originally I had them scheduled to come up to Loud and Local in studio, but, you know, things are a little bit different these days with the whole stay-at-home orders. But, yeah, I guess we're just both working from home. First off, Steve, how you doing, man?
I'm surviving. I got a glass of wine. I'm ready for...
Ooh, classy.
Oh, it came out of a box. It's not that close.
Okay. Cool.
But I'm ready for 6 o'clock.
There you go, man. I guess first off, you know, how are you doing, like, mentally and like, how are you staying sane during this lockdown, stay-at-home pandemic craziness?
Playing music kind of keeps me entertained, whiling away the hours, but... I have good days and bad days, and I think everybody probably does in this situation. It's,
yeah.
You know, you have 4 days on and 1 day off where you mm-hmm. think, God, I'm so sick of this. But mm-hmm. I live alone, and I have for a decade or so, so I'm pretty good at sheltering in place.
Sure.
I like to retreat from people and get here and have my privacy. So, I don't know, part of me is kind of stoked to get the time, but it gets old after a while, certainly.
Yeah, have you guys had any band like meetings via Zoom or like tried to set up anything like that?
No, not everybody is technically adept in the band.
Fair enough.
So that can be sort of a challenge, but we wanted to stay really safe. So we haven't had any practice or anything mm-hmm. like that. We've stayed in touch. It hasn't been like we've cut off communication, but we communicate over phone calls and texts and stuff and drop off care packages to each other.
Nice. AKA box of wine, right?
Yeah. Box of wine. Get well soon card after a hangover.
So you guys just released Talk Is Cheap, Here's the Scoffs, right? It was it April?
No, it was actually Monday.
It was this Monday. My bad.
Yeah.
So we're talking on the 6th. This is May 6th. So you guys released Talk Is Cheap, Here's the Scoff on Monday. What's it like to release an album during a pandemic?
It's terrible.
I mean, we didn't really have it. Completely honest?
Yeah. You know, we've been working on this since last July. And yeah. I know it's only 5 songs, but... You know, we had an engineer that was really busy with a bunch of projects, mm-hmm. and he was nice enough to fit us in between them. That's Evan Foster from Boss Martians, for people
yeah.
who are local, probably know him. We've worked on it off and on, and we've been just sitting on it. And meanwhile, the name of the band has been out there from the live shows we've done and stuff, but people haven't been able to really hear the band.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been supremely frustrating. So we finally decided, screw it, just put the damn thing out. Yeah, we don't have vinyl yet. We'll get it.
Yeah.
We'll put it online so people can hear it. And it's done really well in the last couple of days. We've made quite a few sales. So mm-hmm. I'm really excited about that. People seem to like it. And we've gotten some good support. So, yeah, we're doing the best with what we've got.
Nice, dude. Well, I'm curious about – so the record is out now, and you can definitely pick it up. You can buy a CD copy of it. Is that right?
Yeah. So once a box of CDs arrives to my door, I'll have them for shipping off of Bandcamp.
Yeah.
In the meantime, you can go to our website, thescoffs.com, and buy them directly from the manufacturer. I've got a link on there underneath the Bandcamp songs. So underneath the songs you play on our website, there's a link to those.
Right on, man. And that's a direct way to support the band, and it's a very cool that Bandcamp has actually been doing this thing every month where they waive the fees, and so all the money can go directly to the bands. This past week, they just reported that $7.4 million went directly to bands, which is pretty awesome.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so they're going to be doing that next month, so definitely shout out to Bandcamp for being a really good resource during this crazy time. But so you have quite the pedigree as far as like the local punk rock scene. Drag Strip Riot, The Graceland 5, Orange 42, a few bands listed here. I'm just reading off your website. How did you guys all meet up together? And I guess if you don't mind, give me kind of the origin story of the Scoffs.
So I did a brief, like 1 year reunion with Drag Strip Riot.
Yeah.
We've been broken up for 5 years or 6 years. And I guess 5 years. And we decided to do a reunion with all the original members. And we did one show before our bassist left us high and dry with a bunch of shows booked at the Crocodile, the Sunset, and Dante's in Portland and all this stuff. And I was going in for surgery on my sinuses. And so I couldn't sing or talk, so I couldn't train anybody. So my buddy Nate, who was the photographer for Drag Strip Riot, stepped in to that role and played bass for the rest of the year with Drag Strip Riot. So when that was done, he said he still wanted to keep playing, and I said, well, I just want to play just straight-up punk rock.
Mm-hmm.
I started there. I went, and I did my thing with roots rock and Americana and all that stuff. I just really wanted to play some aggressive music. It had been a while since I could just go balls out on some power chords and not have to think about chicken picking or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so Gabor, or Gabby, as I like to call him, from Sledgeback, he had approached me. He hadn't done anything in a few years, I think about 5 years. And he approached me at one of the shows, and he said, hey, if you ever need a guitarist for anything, hit me up. And I loved his band. We used to play with Sledgeback back in the day, and I thought he was a fantastic front man.
Yeah.
I loved his voice. I loved their songs. And I just, they were one of my more favorite local bands. And so I thought, well, yeah, the chance to work with this guy is great. So when we decided to do this, it's the first call I made. And he said, yeah, no, I'm in. Let's do it. I said, man, I want to do, like, you know, old school kind of some Oi stuff or, like, you know, just late 70s British style punk stuff. And then my old drummer in the Graceland 5 was Rob. And the guy is a machine. Like, he's just, his timing is fantastic. He can play really fast. He can switch up into different time signatures. Just, he can, corner on a dime. And we used to throw all kinds of stuff at him in the Graceland 5. So I knew he'd be fantastic. And I hit him up, and he was also combing want ads for a drummer. And so it just fell together at the right time. We got together, and we had 3-4 songs, at least the skeletons of them in one practice.
That's awesome, man. Sounds like it came together pretty organically from people that you've known throughout the punk scene for a while now.
Yeah, yeah. And the just the camaraderie is there because we've all known each other and worked with each other and respect each other's music that we make. And so, yeah, I've had more fun in this project than I've ever had in anything I've done before. And I'm just really stoked to work with these guys.
Hey, man, that's an important thing. The most is having fun with it, because it's not like we're all becoming millionaires here, right?
Right, yeah. I think I became a 30-year this past week.
Woo!
Yeah.
let's actually go into a song. This is from the new record, which is called Talk Is Cheap. Talk Is Cheap. Here's the Scoffs, the debut record. We're gonna play the lead single, Talk Is Cheap, and then we'll come back with more from Steve Bostick, aka what was your nickname again? I'm sorry,
Nuck.
Rhymes
with yuck.
Oh my god! All right, dude. Yeah. We'll be back with more from the Scoffs. Here is Talk Is Cheap. It's a lot of vocals and I'm sessions.
Talking, keep on talking, you got you're not that bad anyway. Keep the laughs coming, keep your mouth running. I'll do my best to always give you something else you can talk about. Oh, I can hear the whispers from your sisters in the hen house, and they just keep on talking, never stop to get the story straight. Keep the dirt flying, keep your tears crying. I'll keep on trying for a little bit of truth, and you're lying now. And the splits of nothing sacred in this modern age. Keep it all easy, keep it light and breezy, so all the simple people can be proud of all the silly conjecturing. The choir's got a preacher fixing, and here comes the sermon again. Recite the lines you learned by rote and blow amongst your friends. Keep your jaw swinging, keep your hands ringing. I'll keep on living with the reason why you're greasing the squeaky wheel.
The lead single from the new Scoffs record, Talk Is Cheap. Here's the Scoffs talking to Nuck, a.k.a. Steve Bostick from the band The Scoffs. And so you guys kind of, to me, it sounds like a mix between some like power pop and some like straight up punk rock. It's melodic. It's catchy, but it's also got that edge to it. To me, I'm not trying to put you guys in some sort of like a box or anything, but it reminds me a little bit of the Buzzcocks. Is that an influence on you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I found that tape when I was a preteen. I think I was 12. My brother had it, and my brother certainly wasn't like a big music guy, but
yeah,
his friends would come over and leave stuff. That's how I discovered Judas Priest. It was a tape with all the lettering was rubbed off, and I just found a tape and listened to it, and I got into that. But yeah, Buzzcocks was one of the early ones. Descendants was a pretty early find. A buddy came over with Milo Goes to College when it came out. That's how old I am. And he played it on my brother's record player. And so that blew my mind. I'd heard Suicidal Tendencies at school when I was skating. I went to this alternative school for bad kids where I met Jason Frost, who became the drummer who I formed Dragstrip Riot with.
Nice.
And so there was a lot of Suicidal Tendencies, and we watched the Powell Peralta videos a lot. So all the bands on those soundtracks and the thrashing tapes back then were really big too. So skate rock was a big Agent Orange and stuff like that.
So these are the bands that you found out through your brother and through friends. Now I'm curious about your own music. Like, where was step one for you personally? Now this is something that even if it's embarrassing, I'm curious. What was the first tape, CD, or whatever that you purchased with your own money?
Huey Lewis and the News Sports.
Yeah,
American Psycho style.
Yeah, right. I mean, I was a little kid, yeah. And I think it was before paper route money, so I must have saved some allowance money or something. But I remember going into Golden Oldies on the east side and picking that up.
Nice.
And I think Van Halen's Diver Down was pretty early.
Yep.
And I remember my other first albums. Highway to Hell, I remember, was an early one. And I had to secret that home. I grew up in a pretty religious household.
Mm-hmm.
And so after church, we would stop off. They had this little cafe in Fred Meyer at the time. And I'd go while away the hours in the record store while my parents were shopping. And so I'd use allowance money, or at that time, probably paper route money, and buy albums that they didn't want me to have. And so I just finished buying Highway to Hell right as my mom walked into the store, and I thought I was done for. Yeah. So punk rock records that I got into early, like the Ramones, was really early. Because I was getting into butt rock at the same time I was getting mm-hmm. into old punk rock stuff.
Okay.
So, you know, Motley Crue's Home Sweet Home was big on the radio at the same time I was hearing Suicidal Tendencies and stuff like that. It was, you know, I was in this school for bad kids, and you had the Heshers over here and you had the skate punks over here, and they were all mixing. And so I was hearing all this stuff at the same time. And I'm a hyperactive person. And so mm-hmm. I liked faster music, and faster the music was, I discovered, the more I got into it. And so Ramones were big, Sex Pistols. Once I discovered that really changed everything. Just the snotty delivery, his lyrics. I really fell in love with his lyrics.
Yeah.
And the fact that he was like 18 years old writing that stuff just blew my mind. And then from there, I discovered, you know, some Oi comps. So I got into Blitz, and I got into The Blood and The Business, and, you know, all this stuff on those comps. Mm-hmm. And that gave me this whole other side of stuff. Meanwhile, I started getting the idea together of forming a punk band. This is the early 90s now, and was introduced to, like, Christ on a Crutch, and loved that album. That was really huge for me when I heard that.
Nice.
And yeah, so those are my early ones that kind of informed it. New Bomb Turks, when they came out, that blew my lid.
Well, what was the first punk actual live punk experience, like punk rock show that you experienced?
It's a good question. Maybe the Vandals at the Redmond Firehouse.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, there was Cat Food and, no, wait, was it Cat Food? What was the name of that band? Sick and Wrong and a few of those bands, like Lakey and Pub. I started getting in there with a fake ID. I was playing in a band called Orange 42, and we were playing with bands like Defiance and the Whorehouse of Representatives. So I saw a lot of the local Northwest stuff really early.
Yeah. Nice, dude. Well, dude, that sounds like some pretty, like, really cool formative experiences, seeing the Vandals at the Redmond Firehouse. That's amazing.
yeah, that was pretty cool.
So what's kept you interested, man? Because, like, you know, for some people, they have, like, a punk, quote-unquote, phase. But for people, I would say, are kind of like lifers. Like, this is who you are, and this is – you've always been interested in punk rock from day one, it sounds like, of when you've, you know, were exposed to the music. What's kept you interested and involved in writing this music?
I'm just an obsessed music fan. From as early as I can remember – I would sit there in a little nook in my room,
mm-hmm.
and I had a boom box, and it always loaded with a tape in it, and I'd sit there and record songs off the radio all day. I wanted to be a DJ. I would cut in and talk between the songs, and I was just obsessed with melodies and harmonies. I got into Sam and Dave because my mom's tapes as a little kid, so discovering harmonies and stuff, and I could hear that even in punk music and where it's discordant by nature in mm-hmm. some of the songs. I like to look for the things that they're doing, and the purpose behind what they did. And so, and it's like that in every song I hear, and I can't help it. My mind just starts analyzing everything I hear, and I love it. And I sit around and I think about music all day, and it's still that way. And so I had 12 years where I played in Drag Strip Riot. I decided I want to do more rootsy stuff and do more on the guitar and all this stuff. So I did that. And it, you know, after 12 years, that was fun. But my sensibilities, I mean, if you ever saw that band live, or anybody that did, we played really fast. And it wasn't just, it wasn't like a rockabilly band. In fact, rockabilly fans hated us. we just used some of that Americana and stuff and put it on top of fast punk beats or rock and roll stuff. So it's, I don't know, it's just always stayed with me. I still play guitar all the time. I still actively seek out new music, and I'm constantly discovering stuff. I don't know, I'm just a huge fan. And so I just, I never grew up. I just stayed with music, and it's kind of been my comfort all these years.
That's rad, man. It's cool to hear. I can obviously tell you're very passionate about it. Now, digging into that, I guess, why don't you give me like four albums that have made a huge impact on your life?
Okay. Shock Troops by the Cox by Cox Barn.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Christ on a Crutch, Crime Pays When Pigs Die. Generation X, Valley of the Dolls.
Nice.
What else? City Baby, Attack by Rats, GBH stuff. And the Sex Pistols. I mean, that was, that kind of kicked the doors down. Road to Run by the Ramones. Home with Big 22.
Some killer records, and if you haven't listened to those, I haven't listened to a few of them. I haven't listened to Christ on a Crutch before, though I've certainly heard their name, so I appreciate you giving us some starting points there. So, yeah, man, I mean, obviously, okay, so this is a weird question, well, I mean, it's not weird. It's pretty basic, but it's a weird timing to be asking it. So, essentially, there's no timeline as to when things will get back to quote-unquote normal, right? It'll be a new normal is what people are saying. So that being said, what are some goals for the Scoffs, and you know, what would you like to accomplish, at least in, you know, in the relatively near future?
I think when they reduce some of the restrictions where we can gather in small groups, I guess, you know, if we can't play live, then we'll become a studio band and just keep putting out music. I've certainly got more songs that we can record.
Yeah.
And we were working on stuff right up until this shelter in place thing. So, you know, I've wrote a song about the quarantine thing itself, and nothing heavy because nobody wants to hear heavy music about that. We're all sick of it. So, you know, just goofy songs that sound like the Ramones, like I Want to Quarantine with You.
That's awesome.
So I guess, you know, that's all we can really do is just focus on output until we can get back on a stage. I'm hopeful that a couple of the dates that we have booked, we're supposed to play with Agent Orange coming up in August. We're supposed to play Belltown Yacht Club June 26th with Die Nasty and the Stuntmen. And I love Lauren. I've known her a long time. And Die Nasty, I think, is a great band. So I was really stoked to get us paired with them. And it was going to be my birthday release. So I hope it happens.
Let's hope so. Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, I mean, we're going to go into another song here, and this is Little Blue Tyrants from the new Scoffs record, Talk is Cheap, and you can certainly pick this up and order the album. You can go to thescoffs.com. You can stream the album, but definitely pick it up and support the band. Is there anything you want to say about this song or anything you want to say before we jump right into it? And I'll let you do your thing and cook your dinner or drink your box of wine.
It's the song is kind of disconcerting to people because it sounds so peppy. It's so hooky.
Yeah.
And it deals with police brutality. I don't know. I wanted to create an earworm that has something topical, something to say. So there's some references, some loose references to Eric Garner and Philando Castile in the song. And I love the way it turned out. It's different, I think, than a lot of stuff you're going to hear locally. It's got, I mean, one thing we thought about when we wrote some of these songs and the harmonies, we thought about it, how in the 70s people were pulling ideas from the 60s for harmonies and back. And you think of the Boys and the kind of harmonies they were doing, sort of Beach Boys style stuff. So we were doing oohs and ahs and no woes, right?
Yeah.
And anyway, so this song turned out cool. It's got a bit of a Ramones flavor to it. It's a little snarlier. But yeah, hopefully people dig it.
Right on, man. Well, we'll jump right into it and pick up the record. Here's Little Blue Tyrants from Talk Is Cheap. Here's The Scoffs. Thanks, man.
Cheers. Thanks.
Here comes the little blue.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.